I did say I was going to be talking to a fascinating lady by all accounts. Her name is Mim Gray, and Mim has a beautiful singing voice, which we're going to hear very shortly. But first, I want to introduce her. She's got a brand new single out called Just As You Are, and that's what we're going to listen to. Mim is on Skype. Mim, hello and welcome to the programme.
Hello there.
There's always this little split second between the introduction and then the guest saying hello, and you wonder, is she really going to be there? But there you are.
I'm here. I am actually here. I just about made it home. I got stuck in horrendous traffic.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. It was like, I just thought, hang on a minute, we're sort of semi-lockdown, isn't it? And like, it's more, there's more people about than I've ever seen before. It's like Christmas or something. It's bizarre.
I think people are maybe anticipating that there might be a further lockdown. It same happened here in Ireland. People, you know, knew that there was a lockdown coming, and the toy stores were just overrun completely, and people started doing their, it was like Christmas Eve in most of the towns.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. All
that's
that.
Exactly what it was like. So there you go. You're right. I didn't realize.
Anyway, Mim, what is that your real name? Were you called Mim, or is this a pet name?
Pet name. No, it's actually Miriam. It's short for Miriam. I mean, everyone who calls me, I get called Miriam when I get told off by my mother or something, you know. But it's Mim or Mimi. My sisters call me Mimi. Some people call me Mirrors, Mim, Miri, whatever.
All right, okay. No identity crisis then, which is fantastic. That's good. It's kind of like me. People have a difficulty with my name being Ger, G-E-R. It's short for Gerard. That's what I was christened. And the only person that calls me Gerard is my mother, obviously. Or when I'm on the golf course and, you know, a very handy, nice, easy shot and I make a complete hames of it, which I do regularly, I just shout, Gerard! And people know then that life is not good. Anyway, listen, we're here to talk to you about your wonderful new single, which is called Just As You Are. That's coming out on the 13th of November. But before we get talking about that, I mean, I'm obviously in the presence of greatness because you've been managed by a man called Frank DeLeo, wasn't it? He was Michael Jackson's manager.
Frank DeLeo. He managed Michael Jackson for a very long time, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
But unfortunately, it was very short lived because he died shortly after Michael Jackson died. So
yeah.
It was a very sad, I mean, which is an understatement, just a bizarre time in my life. And my manager at the time, Raymond Bannerman, was a friend of his friend. And I went over to LA and sat in a hotel room for like, I don't know, 10 days or something. And he was going out and having meetings and stuff. And it wasn't cool for me to go along. And I totally got that.
Okay.
And then one day he just came back to the hotel and went, hey, Frank says he'll manage you. He loves your stuff. And, you know, and this was just before Michael Jackson was coming over and doing the nights at, in London.
So, oh, yes, down the arena.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that was all kind of kicking off. And I just got back here. I literally came back, not on a plane. I came back on like a huge cloud. And I was like, this is incredible. And I was just really excited. And then a massive record label here, Decca, was really interested because of it. And then it kind of, and then it just was all went horribly wrong because Michael died and then Frank DeLeo died and everyone was just completely sort of knocked for six, you know. No one kind of knew what was going on. So,
and because of Frank's death, did you lose the record contract then?
Well, it was all to do with, it was all kind of in process of them coming over, and we were going to set, loads of meetings were set up with Frank DeLeo. He was going to be working alongside this particular guy who I won't mention, but, and that obviously never happened. So, Frank, he never actually stepped foot in the country in the end.
Let's talk about Joni Mitchell, because she once said that she loved your song One More Time and even gave her blessing to use some of her lyrics in the track.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, I know. That was another
incredible,
unreal moment. I wrote this song and I literally, being a bit scatty and a bit, I don't know. I mean, she's my idol, but I introduced a few lines of from a couple of her songs into one of my songs One More Time. And I thought, oh, I'll clear it. But it all happened so quickly, going to LA and working with Derek Bramble. And suddenly I got there and Derek said, listen, I want to start with One More Time.
Okay.
And he's such a massive producer out there. I didn't want to go, oh, but I haven't cleared the few of the lines in my song with Joni Mitchell. And so I just went back to my manager and went, oh my God, Well, he wants to start with that song first. What am I going to do? So it all kicked off. And eventually, after about a week, we got in touch with Joni Mitchell. And she obviously, I mean, she doesn't have a phone and a
really
car and a computer. And no, she's not. She cares for none of that stuff. And so it was really difficult to get hold of her. I think someone actually had to drive to her place. But anyway, she was actually in the process of coming to LA from Canada, and she hired in a sound system. And I mean, I'm sure she gets asked all the time, you know, hey, do you mind such and such, you know, using one of your lines or doing a rendition of one of your songs? But she eventually heard it in her hotel room in LA and said, yeah, I love it. And, you know, give her my blessing.
No, I'm going to ream off a couple of things here. You have twice been invited to perform at Sir Paul McCartney's Christmas parties. You performed at Sir Anthony Hopkins' 70th birthday party. You sang at a wedding where Meryl Streep and Alan Rickman were in attendance. You've been on the BBC Two Radio 2 playlist, and you've written a song with Kylie Minogue. Obviously, you've nothing else going on in your life.
Loads more stuff, but it's really boring.
Wow. How did you manage to swing all of that?
Well, I'm not 18, yeah, so I've done it this over a few years.
You sound like 21 and a half.
Stop it now.
Go on.
It's just little things that kind of just pop up and you just go, wow, that's just happened. To do a gig for Stanley Tucci. And he married Emily Blunt, the incredible actress. He married her sister Felicity, and they saw me doing my original stuff at a gig in London one night, and she was there. Felicity was there, not Emily Blunt. And she just said, I would love you to come and sing at our wedding. And I was just like, okay, this is a joke. And I got there, and Meryl Streep was there, and so many people. I was just completely gobsmacked. And then at one point, like Stanley Tucci, Meryl Streep, Jimmy Carr, I mean, loads and loads of people. That's like, there's loads of Hollywood people as well, and they're all like dancing in front of me and doing that kind of like, you know, coming up and giving their little bit on the microphone and stuff. It was great. Absolutely
incredible.
Brilliant.
All right, let us talk then about Miriam, shall we? I know that you were born in Barnet and that you were the youngest of five children. You said that there was music blaring from every room in the house. Talk to me about your childhood.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was an old Victorian house, and my dad was very, very much into classical music, and my mum loved her kind of Shirley Bassey, and my brothers and sisters, I kind of fed off their interests, really, their musical interests, because I think you do as a youngster, and it was everything from AC/DC, The Doors, to like Earth, Wind & Fire, George Benson, Randy Crawford. All of this stuff was like this melange of just so many different sort of genres of music, and it just was floating around. So I just absorbed it all, and then I kind of picked out little bits that really kind of, you know, grabbed my heartstrings, and then and went on from there, really. And like James Taylor and Ricky Lee Jones and Joni Mitchell were kind of people that I think I was older than my years in terms of my
listening to music,
because everyone in my peers was sort of into Duran Duran and Spandau Ballet and stuff like that. And I was way beyond that. They didn't even know who Joni Mitchell was.
Girl of the Mitchells down the road. You left school at 15, and that started a fairly interesting journey for you. Talk us through that.
I loved my primary school, but I hated my secondary school. I don't know why, but I did. And I couldn't wait to get out, so I got out as soon as I could. And I was one of the oldest in my years, because my birthday's in September. And then I kind of knew that I wanted to do music, and I got this little job. And then I remember my brother phoning me up one day saying, look, I'm moving out of mum and dad's. Do you want to come and move in with me in this house in Barnet? And I was like, oh my God, ooh, I don't know. And I just did. So I just literally just packed and went out and moved in with him. And then in Barnet at that time, and actually probably still now, there was just everybody that I knew was musicians. They weren't necessarily famous. They were all kind of striving to get there. But and then two brothers moved into the house, John Williams and Paul Williams. And then my brother moved out because he got a scholarship to do some directing course. And then I was in the house with these two guys,
right,
who basically wanted to form a band. And I was like, I can't do that. And then Paul, on one night, we had a part where we had loads of parties, but he found loads of tapes that I made of me just singing my own songs on a piano. And he started playing them, and people were like, come on, man, you got to do it. And I was like, no, I can't. What are you talking about? And yeah, and they got me my first little gig in a tiny little wine bar in Barnet. And it was, you could fit probably comfortably about 25 to 30 people in it, and about 250 people came down.
Oh, wow.
And I know, and watched me at whatever, 16 and a half, 17, I was like singing with reading the lyrics, you know, doing Van Morrison and Suzanne Vega and Nina Simone stuff.
And you did well while Paul was looking after you, but then unfortunately Paul passed away and things took a bit of a nosedive for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you lose anyone, particularly that time in my life, he had pancreatic cancer, and he was only 34, aww, if that. And I know, it's horrendous. And so I was just picking up everything, really, as I went along. And I was trying to work out what was going on, really, and am I still going to carry on with this? And because he was the person who kind of pushed me in, not pushed me into it, but he gave me the wings to kind of do it. And
right.
So I did it in my own way. And, you know, if he'd stuck around, then yeah, it might have been different. It might have, you know, but he didn't. So,
okay. It was on a particular flight to or from America, that you met somebody, a London-bound flight, in fact, that you met somebody that changed things. So briefly take us through the journey from how things started to take off again for you and to where you are now and how successful you've been.
Well, yeah, I was actually listening to a song that I'd written, and I was just thinking, oh God, you know, it's okay. But, and I initially write everything on my own, but I love working with other people. And when I sat down, it was a long haul flight, and it was Corey Josias, my writing partner. And, she was sitting next to me, and we just got sort of chatting, really. And, I had no idea who she was, obviously. And then she turned out to be like a lyricist, Buddhist,
wow,
lots of things. And yeah, and that was it, really. We just hit it off, and we just started writing. I think as soon as I got back to England, we started our little writing journey.
And you've got a new single, which is called, or is just about to be released. It's called Just As You Are. Talk to me about that. Tell me about that, that particular song.
Just As You Are, yeah. Well, funny enough, it was my husband, who's a drummer, Stephen Vintner, and he came up with the idea, and then we worked on it together and dragged Corey in. I'm kidding. And yeah, and it was just, as soon as he played it to me, I just thought, wow, this is fantastic. It's just old school, really nice, a little bit bluesy, but a little bit country, a bit Americana, and I fell in love with it. So we did that, and but actually, I think, is it not out? I think it's out already. This is how scatty I am. I think it's out already. But there's another song called No Emergency that's coming out soon as well.
Okay.
So I've got so many songs I want to bring out, but I just have to be a bit patient and, you know, calm down.
You sound like somebody that's kind of constantly on the go, and everything is kind of done now and has to be done.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Unless I'm with my dogs on the sofa, I'm on the go.
Okay. And your writing inspirations, I'm sure all writers get asked the question, is your writing based on the music that you came to love as you were growing up and that you were exposed to?
I think it's a mixture of that. I mean, definitely a mixture of like James Taylor and Joni and Ricky and but you know, people like now, like John Mayer is just, I mean, he's a genius, and I love his playing. I love his creations are just, you know, they're just delicious. His songs are fantastic. He's such an amazing writer. But but you know what I also love? I love my dance music. I love like Charlie Puth, you know, so I'm not just kind of setting my own little thing. I absorb loads of stuff, and I always have, and I think it's good for the soul as well. I think it's good to take on board people's, because I think everyone's got their stuff to share, and it's, you know, people like Charlie Puth and John Mayer, and you know, I even love some of Justin Bieber's stuff. It's like, he's great.
Funny enough, I played him today on the program, and I actually said when the song was over, I never thought I'd play a Justin Bieber song on the radio, but there you go.
I did an interpretation of Justin Bieber live, and I just said to myself, my God, I never thought I'd do that, but I did. There you go.
There you have it. All right, Mim, will you give us your email, not your email address, please don't do that. Give us your website address, please, so the people can have a look and a listen, and I'm going to play your song then.
Okay, it's really easy. It's literally just mimgrey.com.
All right, and Grey is spelled G-R-E-Y. Just for
G-R-E-Y, darling, the yes. proper way. Yeah.
So Mim, MIMGREY.com, is it?
That's the one.
All right. Listen, it's been a joy talking to you. As soon as I say goodbye, I'm going to press the button and we're going to play Just As You Are, your current single, and I wish you well with it and with the rest of your career. And if we can do anything for you here, please do pick up the phone and give us a shout, okay?
Thank you so much. You're so sweet. I will do.
Joy to talk to you. Thanks a million, Mim.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So heavy for someone with shoulders so young. I watched you knock down and get back up off the ground. Oh, when would your troubles be done? Stood up with no one to cry on, with a fire that blazed in those eyes. Never played by the rules, always somebody's fool, and heaven knows you put up. I've loved you just as you are. I've loved you just as you are. Yeah, as you are. So give me your spirit, I'll carry your child. Your heartache is safe here with me. Go on, lay down your burden. All I ask in return is a little piece of eternity.
Isn't that nice? I told you she had an exquisite voice. The voice of Mim Gray, her current single called Just As You Are. And lovely to talk to her.